I keep a few items near me almost all the time. It's always a bottle of water, a granola bar, some sort of snack, and post-it notes. These are items essential for survival. I live like this because if I don't write things down, I tend to not remember. Most of the time, I don't like to look at the teachings of Jesus as lists. It's too easy to turn our Christianity into this sort of lowest common denominator grouping of lists. It's too easy to reduce Jesus down to just checkpoints, but sometimes it's helpful, at least, to remember a few of the bigger items. So I made a list a while back to help me remember the book of Matthew in four words: with mercy, go, remember. Jesus gave two final commands, two action items for Christians after all the others that he taught. Back when Jesus lived and taught among us, he gave us lots of encouragement and a number of commands like do not worry and judge not, lest ye be judged, and go and learn mercy. And then the last two commands that we overhear in Matthew from the voice of the living Jesus: go and make disciples of everyone, and remember. Remember that I am with you always. Do you remember the way Matthew starts? What we often later leave off as the statement coupled with the Great Commission? Which, it's no wonder that we can just leave it off if we make go and make disciples the ending of Matthew. You know what happens when we don't read the last line of Matthew and we just read the second to last command of God, go and make disciples? You know what happens if we let that be the ending of Matthew? It puts everything in our hands. And I don't know about you, but Christianity that puts everything in our hands, that is a tough life to live. So, yeah, Jesus says, go and make disciples of everyone. That's the second to last command of Jesus. The last thing Jesus says, and I'm pretty sure it's a command, Jesus says, remember that I am with you always. The book of Matthew starts with a promise of Jesus, about Jesus, a name like a title. You remember when Jesus is introduced in the book of Matthew? They say, here, call him this. Call him Emmanuel. And just so that we don't kind of misunderstand, it goes to the trouble of actually telling us what it means. Just so we don't miss this beautiful bookend that sits on the end of Matthew because it's where it starts, too. Here, call Jesus this. You know, call him Emmanuel. That's who he is. And by the way, Emmanuel means God with us. And then the very ending of the book of Matthew says the same exact thing. And remember that I am with you. Always. Remember God with us. Let's take a second to pray. Dear God, help us to remember that you are with us always. Through Jesus, amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from 1 Peter 1, from the very beginning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, although you have not seen Him. You love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In many ways, 1 Peter picks up some of these big picture themes of Matthew, and then reminds us what we too easily forget. Living hope, our inheritance, our faith, our salvation. I mean, do you think about these things all day, every day? I don't. I read this stuff all the time and I don't even think about it all the time. But 1 Peter is there as a way to kind of follow up Matthew to say, you can. You can think about these things all the time. You do dwell on them because these are the things in life that are actually worth dwelling upon. Because you know that you're going to walk out of here an hour or so, and you and I will be bombarded by all kinds of things saying, here, focus on this. Here, look at this. Ooh, isn't this pretty? Right after we have proclaimed our inheritance, our faith, our salvation, life's hard. I made the mistake early in my Christian life of thinking that my Christianity was a competition, particularly a competition with other Christians, that somehow I had to be the best Christian, that I had to get everything right. And that unless I got everything right, that I would wind up on a fast-track bobsled to hell, which I picked up from some guy's preaching was a very crowded bobsled. You know, maybe that thing Jesus said about our faith having to surpass that of the Pharisees was Jesus' way of saying that rather than going around memorizing a bunch of lists and sort of patting each other on the back for how much we know and how much we get right, just go try to live this stuff. Just live it. You know, you're going to mess up sometimes. Okay. And we're all going to sin, fall short of the glory of God. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. Don't just teach it and then try to hold others up to some hyped up version of morality and then label that Christianity. Don't give in to the popular notion that is often called Christian that puts us against them, whoever them might be. Instead, teach and live God with us. I mean, what if we started and ended there? God with us. After all, that's where Matthew starts and ends. And then, in the meantime, teach and live. Go and learn mercy. How easy this is to not remember. So, in an effort to get us out of the habit of boiling everything down to a mere list, here's a better list. With, go, mercy, remember. With. The beginnings of Jesus' life and ministry began with a promise that Jesus was and is the living reminder of God with us. And then the very last thing that Jesus says in Matthew is, I am with you always. That's no coincidence. And then mercy and go together, or go and mercy. I'm not sure which one actually comes first, but either way, they're meant to be read together. Jesus teaches in Matthew that we are to go and learn what it means to live a life of mercy that informs your sacrifices, how we give mercy that we too hope to receive from others, not to mention that we receive from God. Because I don't know about you, but one of these days, if it all goes down the way that kind of heard it's going to go down, you know, where we stand before God, and you've seen those Renaissance paintings and stuff, right, where we're all standing before God. What are you going to ask God? Are you going to say, hey, go tough on my sin? No, I'm going to ask for mercy. And I think that's why Jesus, in all His incarnate God wisdom, says, if you're going to devote your life to something, start with go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And I think the reason that Jesus says that in the middle of Matthew is that it's kind of like chess. You can learn the rules of chess in about 5 minutes. You know how long it takes to get good at chess? A lifetime. I can tell you all day long and repeat Jesus. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know how long it takes to live that out? I'm kind of thinking it's a lifetime plus a day. It takes a while. But it's only after the whole mercy thing that we go into all the world. Not as people who just have to tough it out, but as people who go, but who go with God. And then again, tied to all of those is remember. Remember that God is with us in Jesus. Remember Jesus' first call to go and learn mercy. Remember that go and make disciples comes only after a commitment to God's mercy as well as a life of thanksgiving for our own mercy that we're continually receiving from God. And remember that God is with us always. Wait, didn't God already say that? Yes. Well, then why do you keep saying it over and over again? You don't remember? Wait. It's really as simple as with mercy go remember. And then the teachings of 1 Peter bring everything together around the central teaching. And it really is a central teaching that says we are born anew. We are being born anew. And that doesn't just happen once. We're here together this morning, and we together, even in God's presence today, even if you've been at this all your life, we today together are being born anew. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, a spotless inheritance that we receive from God who is always with us, even if sometimes it feels like one big test by fire. with mercy go remember. I always keep a few items near me, almost always, not all the time, but pretty much all the time. And they're items for my own life that are essential for survival. Some water, some sort of snack, and post-it notes. I live by lists. Reminders, because if I don't write them down, I might not remember. Back when Jesus lived and taught among us, He gave us lots of encouragement and lots of commands, like, let your light shine. Let your word be yes and or no. Forgive the way you want to be forgiven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not worry. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Go and learn mercy. Love God. Love your neighbor. You remember all that, right? And then the last two commands that we overhear in Matthew from the voice of the living Jesus. And I can't figure it out. I can't figure out if it is one twofold command or kind of two last commands. It doesn't really matter. We've got to do both of them. Go and remember. Go offer Jesus to everyone. And I'm pretty sure that when Jesus said all, that most likely what he meant by that. I mean, we've done a lot of Greek word studies on this, but I'm pretty sure that when Jesus said all, that what he really meant by that is all. Everybody, go make disciples of everyone. But there's more to the command. That's actually not the last one. The last command that Jesus gave is to remember. Remember that I am with you always. Look at it. Really, I'll give you a minute. You got Bibles in the pews. Turn on your Wayback Machine. Look it up. Really, I want you to see this. Everybody, look at Matthew 28 and look at the very last line. I'll give you a minute. Very last line of the book of Matthew, what Jesus said, remember that I'm with you always. Do you remember the way Matthew started? Calling Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Jesus gives us His final command in the book of Matthew, and it says, remember, remember is a way of saying, I'm telling you something that you already know, that you've already heard, but you may have let slip. The cool thing about the tense of that word is that it's one of those things that is constant. It's not remember on a Sunday in April. It's devote your life to remembering this. You can translate it even be perceiving, or the way that I like to translate it is always be thinking about this. Don't ever stop thinking about this last thing that I'm about to tell you. And it all goes back to God with us, and you can see it right there in front of you. The last thing Jesus says is remember that I am with you always. Even to the very end of what we, in our feeble, feeble minds, perceive of as time. And I'd really love to end the sermon there. I mean, it'd be powerful. It would be powerful to say, remember I'm with you always, even to the end of time. And we all say amen and get up and let's go. But the thing about it is that there are real life objections and questions that are going to come up in our daily lives. And I know it. And I know what the first question is. Yeah, but how can we know that God is really with us? How do we know that it's not just our will and then naming that God? Well, the answer to is in the middle of Matthew, between the God with us's. It's all right there in the middle. How can you actually know that God is with us? Well, Matthew gives it all away. Here's the measure. You ready? Here goes. Do our actions love our neighbors? That's God. That's God with us. Do our actions ever not love our neighbors? That's not God. Do our actions show mercy? That's God. Do our actions ever exclude others just because we don't like them? That's not God. And can you believe this? I've been doing this long enough to encounter this, thankfully not here, but I've encountered this in other places long ago and far away. Did you know that there are people who actually object to mercy? It blows my mind. But I've seen it throughout my ministry and even my own Christian life. There are people actually out there who object to mercy. They say things like, well, we need to be tougher on people's sin. Really? Really? Is that what you want from God? Tougher on sin? I mean, I'm not a fan of sin. I am, however, a fan of forgiveness. And I'm pretty sure that as for me and my house, if it goes down the way that some people say it's going to go down, and we're standing before God, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to say, if He says, do you have any last requests, that I'm going to say, yeah, one last thing, be really, really hard on my sin. I think what I'll probably say is something tantamount to, have mercy, O Lord. And you know what the church is supposed to do in the meantime?